to First Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to talk about tonight. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Amen. Chapter 6 and starting at verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. I'll just elaborate on that. What contentment is. Godliness is conforming to the laws and the wishes of God. It's not just going around and say, I am a Christian, because this person say they're Christian and we all Christians and we religion and all that. That doesn't make you be godly. Amen. Godliness means that you are conforming to the wishes of God, the way God desires for you to conform. That's what godliness means. And you're out to please the Lord. Doesn't mean that you're perfect, that you never make no mistakes. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you cross every T all the time and dot every I all the time. But it means in your heart you are striving to please God, which make you godly. It brings godliness in your life. And you are basically out to please the Lord. You are striving to please the Lord in your heart. Even though sometimes your flesh may feel like your flesh is going to want to go another way. But in your heart, your heart keep aiming to please the Lord. That brings about godliness in your life. So it says godliness with contentment is a great gain. I'm just got through talking about godliness. It's conforming to the laws and wishes of God and out to please the Lord. And contentment is a great thing to have contentment, because in this world there's a lot of discontent. People are not content in nothing anymore. They're not content with their jobs. They're not content in their marriages. They're not content in no type of way in their household. There's no contentment. It's a discontentment all over, which discontentment brings a lot of other destructive things. So godliness with contentment. Contentment means to be satisfied. In other words, we're talking about contentment in God. We're not talking about contentment in things or people, but we're actually talking about contentment in God. Amen. It's like contentment in God means you're satisfied in God. That don't mean you don't grow. That means you continue to grow, but you're satisfied choosing the life you have chose to walk with God, and you're satisfied with that. You're not trying to look for another lifestyle to walk after. You're satisfied with walking with the Lord. Amen. Because I tell you, if you're not satisfied, you will not stay with God. You'll wither off into other areas where you should not be. So contentment means to be content, satisfied in God, and you're fulfilled. When you're satisfied, you are fulfilled. Amen. When you're satisfied, you are fulfilled. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Satisfied means, let's say if you have eaten a meal, you've eaten a meal and you got full. You say, "Ooh, that was good," and I'm full. But it's like I'm not over full, but I'm just right. I'm satisfied. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's the way you have to be in the Lord. It's godly with contentment is a great gain. They say to be. In other words, contentment is to be satisfied. It means to be fulfilled. It means to be, I'm happy. The older people used to say, I'm happy in Jesus. I'm happy in Jesus. Happy, you have peace and well-being. You might have trouble and struggles all around you, but you're content in the Lord, because you know from where's coming your help. You know that he's the foundation and he's the center of your joy. You know that he is, no matter what kind of winds blow around you, whatever trouble is going on around you, whether it's financial trouble or whether there's physical trouble, emotional trouble, spiritual trouble, household trouble, whatever kind of trouble, you know he's the one that holds you steady. So he gives you that, you have that contentment in God. That's if you hold to God the way you're supposed to hold to God. If you do not hold to God the way you're supposed to hold to God, when those winds, outside winds, get to blowing, you get to reeling and rocking, and you can become discontent. Amen. So contentment in God, and it's a process. You have to, you all hear me say it all the time, and it really is true. You do have to not just say, I pray. You have really got to have a relationship with God to keep the contentment in your heart. Because there will be some things and storms that come in your life that you will not be, you can feel discontented. You got a lot of people sitting up in church discontent. I'm not talking about the Wells Ministry. I'm talking about all over. People just sitting up in church buildings and say, I'm baptized in Jesus' name. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. And I've been in the way for like 10 years. And that's all they was, been in the way. But they haven't developed a relationship with God. And they're discontent. When you become discontent, you're going to start seeking out doing other stuff. You're not going to stay with contentment. Contentment and discontentment, two different things. You either content or discontent. And you would know by your actions that you make. Whatever choices you choose, you start wavering off from the things of God, you become discontent. That's why the Bible said godliness. Godliness, and you can't be content without the godliness, because you got to conform to the wills of God, the ways of God. Amen. The Bible says, walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, you know, some people, you got people been saved 10 years. They don't know even how to, what we're talking about walking in the spirit. We supposed to pray all day. That lets you know that they need some help with that. Because there's no way that you can pray on your knees all day, because you got to do other stuff. But you can be godly minded. You're minding, the Bible says, you mind the things of the spirit, or you're going to mind the things of the flesh. That means, mind means obey. I obey the things of the spirit, or I obey the things of the flesh. If I already know that God requires me to have a prayer life, I already know that he requires me to do some things. He don't need to repeat every day, tell me what to do. It's already should be established that I'm supposed to have a prayer life. I'm supposed to incorporate prayer in my week, in my day, not just when I get to church. Those things cause you to walk in the spirit. Some people don't understand that. But to break that down, that's how you walk in the spirit. You pray, you do the things of God, but yet you take care of your own business too. So when you understand it like that, yes, you can walk in the spirit. When you don't understand it like that, no, you will not. You just be confused. But we need to know. Amen. That's what Sunday school, Bible class, and different things. We need to know about the God we serve. And I was listening to a message before I left. I can't remember how the speaker was saying it. She was saying, I feel her. She said, this is 2019, and I'm not wasting time with people that they're big people, but they still doing little minute things that they should know better. She said, I don't have energy for that. And I hear that. You've been saved a long time. There's some things you should know. Amen. Even if you've been saved a couple days, a little while, there's some things you should know. If you sit under the word, the only way you won't know no different, if you don't have a personal relationship with yourself, with the Lord, and you are not sitting upon teaching to help perfect you. And then you're not doing it. Because you can be sitting under teaching to perfect you, but if you do not taking to do anything, you're not doing anything, what you hear, it's not benefiting you. So, godliness with contentment, you got to have the godliness first. That means conforming to the laws and wishes of God. We need to know why we are serving God. We don't need to be on the no. So the Lord is soon to come back. We don't need to be trying to figure out why am I supposed to be here? Why am I supposed to be doing this? It's too late in the hour for that. You either know why you're serving God or you don't. You serve him or you don't. Shouldn't take 10 to 15 years. You realize I'm going over the same thing. Why am I serving God? Why am I saved? I think sometimes people need to get a reality check and go back and ask themselves a question. Why am I saved? Why did I get saved? What brought me to the Lord? If you lost the concepts of that, because if you lost the concepts of that, then you are kind of lost. You need to be on that. If you already got the basic, those are the basic things. The Bible said, leave the principles of the doctrine and go on to perfection. You know, the principles of the doctrine is not going to help you all the way down the road. You drunk meat, milk back there. It's time for you to eat meat to make you strong. Meat makes you strong. Milk is for babies. But milk makes you strong. So after you drink so much milk a while, you shouldn't be steady wanting milk when it's time to eat meat, because you got stuff coming bigger at you that you need strength, more strength to fight than drinking milk. Can I get an amen? So godliness with contentment is a great gain, but the godliness got to be there before the contentment. You cannot be content if you don't have godliness before, because people are just not content. It's not in our DNA to be content. We are all right one minute, next minute we don't know who we are. We wake up and know who we are, what frame of mind or anything. We all twisted. You can go to bed one way, wake up another way. So when you have God in your life, if you get off track like that, the Spirit's always there to put you back in structure. Because he is the Bible said, mark the perfect man, because the end of that man is peace. And he's talking about Jesus Christ. Don't mimic other people, mimic the Lord. Even if you mimic a leader, only mimic a leader as you see God moving in that leader. Somebody say amen. Amen. Godliness with contentment, the Bible said, it's a great gain. In other words, that means that you have achieved a lot. You have achieved a lot. You have attained a lot. You have a great reward. You have a great benefit. It's very profitable for you. Because godliness with contentment, that contentment is going to keep you steady. You're not going to be wishy-washy. You're not going to be sometimes up, sometimes down, most time to the ground. You're going to be steady. The wind can be blowing you. The trials and tests be blowing, but you got a steadiness on the inside of you. That's that contentment. So that's why we need it. Being content is a great gain. Remember, verse 7 says, for we bought nothing into this world. God letting us know that a man's life doesn't consist in abundance of things that he possess or she possess. God's letting you know, I don't care what you possess in this world. I don't care who you are, who you think you are, where you came from, how much money you got, what you have, what you don't have. God said, godliness is contentment is still better and much better than all of that. He said, because we have bought nothing into this world. When you was born into this world, you didn't bring nothing into the world. I didn't bring nothing to the world. You was just born into this world. You had a naked body and everything else. A little baby, you know who you are. You didn't bring nothing to this world. Can I get an amen? And it's certain we can carry nothing out. And that's true. When people leave here, they don't even know they're gone. They don't know somebody put something on them, make them look halfway decent in the cast and everything, but going right back to dust. If you go back, and I ain't never did it, but the Bible, I go back where the Bible said, dust to dust. You're going to find a whole body laying up there. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. But your spirit will go to heaven and God will give you a glorified body. Them bodies and all that what you painted up to be, all the face lifts and everything else, you can't take that to heaven, honey. That's not going to heaven. Amen. If you had a broken arm, they put a new arm on you. All that is not going to heaven. Amen. Am I right? Yeah. So when you understand it like that, you got bigger view, you got huger view. And that's what we need to get is a huger view of why we serve God. Because if you don't know why you serve God, anything can knock you out of the race. And it says, and I don't have an ear to hear people talking trash or talking a bunch of imp. I don't have ear to hear people talking twisted. Because my journey is too serious and I've been walking with God enough. You can't. The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. Once you know the truth and make you free, you don't turn around and get with somebody and get confused. Amen? If you're confused, you're going to be bringing yourself harm. Wishy-washy people, don't fool with them when it comes to talking about the Lord. They have you all over the place. Amen? Say, we bought nothing to this world, and it's certain we can't carry anything out. And having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. God said, Lord, you got food, you got clothes, And sometimes we murmur and complain and whine about that. But if that was taken away from you, you sure appreciate the food and the raiment and the clothes. You don't miss stuff till it's not there. Like you think we don't appreciate stuff. We take stuff for granted, for like, take it lightly for granted. Last week, I couldn't lift my arm about to hear. I keep talking about it because if you've been through something, you won't forget it. I was having everybody I rode with, they had to fasten my seatbelt for me, had to carry something for me, help me put on my coat and everything. Every time I lift my hands up, I said, Lord, thank you. Amen. You don't appreciate you. So we take stuff too like, and I was saying, Lord, thank you before that happened. But sometimes it makes you even be more grateful. You got somebody working on your in your body, then God calls it to work. You'd be a fool not to give God the praise. You have to learn how to thank God in all things. Amen. Whether you got troubles or you don't have troubles. Amen. It was like yesterday. I was just thanking the Lord. It looked like I believe when I had the shoulder pain and they taking those pain pills. I'm just not really used to taking a whole lot of stuff anyway. But it's like anytime you have a lot of pain, you're just trying to get comfort. And they really got to the point. They really wasn't. They're like this dull in the pain. So I wasn't doing too much, and I really didn't like to take those pills because I never. Certain things I just don't like to take because it bothers you, helping you one way and irritates you another way. It looked like the second week. I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, it was my arm 1 week. I said, now this week it was my stomach. I believe them things just irritated my stomach and threw me off track. So I've been just kind of slowly and taking my time and paying attention while eating. I have been doing that, but every night looked like as soon as I lay down, my stomach started hurting me so bad. And I had been going through that this week. And I believe it's from that because I wasn't having that problem at first. Even though I'm not taking those pills more, it's irritate me. And I thank the Lord. I think last week we was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, I believe. And I just laid my hands on my stomach. I said, Lord, I just asked you to take this. This is disturbing. And it was really this gas trapped up right here, like it just wouldn't go anywhere. And I said, Lord, this is so irritating. I'm just tired of my sleep being disturbed like that. And I just prayed for it, and I felt like I could feel it just calm down. I kind of dozed back off into a sleep, and I was thanking the Lord for that. But then later on, it started bothering me again. It seemed like, well, I had been taking the Tums and stuff like that. I got so tired. I was tired of taking them because it seemed like they almost wasn't doing no good. And I woke up that last time and I was like this, like, oh, well, this is like this, my sleep disturbed. And I just feel like all in my sleep, thank the Lord, just like the word of knowledge said, baking soda. I said, baking soda? Do I got any baking soda? I had that in the refrigerator for a long time, I think. It was in the refrigerator. I said, I got baking soda in there. And it seemed like the Lord just said, baking soda, just take you a little bit. And I said, I ain't took no baking soda in a year because, you know, everything's so modern and moved up now. That's what we used to take a long time ago with Tums and all this other stuff. Yeah. And I went in there and I want things like this stuff. I've been in here for a long time. I wonder if it's okay. So I go get my phone, go online to see how long you're supposed to keep that stuff. I'm doing all this at 1:20 in the morning. This was last yesterday morning. I said, wow. I'm going in there. And then I tasted it. I said, it's still fresh. And I went on and took a little of that because I took a tiny. I'm like, I ain't took none of that in a long time. Put some water, warm water. And I drank that. Went on back to sleep and slept the rest of the night. While I'm in the bed, the Lord just spoke it to me. And I had that. I used that in the refrigerator just to leave a little box, a little part of it open just to keep the refrigerator fresh, you know. I said, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. God will hear your heart cry. Like, won't you be one of my sleep being disturbed like that? Didn't have no more problem with that that night slept always. Amen. But I'm just saying, God will come by, amen, and help you in any way. So that's why you want to stay connected with the Lord, because really can't nobody do you like Jesus anymore. You cannot get a hold of people like you can get a hold of the Lord. I couldn't call nobody. What about no stomach ache? I mean, I have to deal with that myself. And that was, I'm like, Lord, I'm tired of this pain. First, the pain in my shoulder, then all this pain. And I used to paint like that. And I said, and then sometime, God allow you to get, amen, whatever you're going through is something to learn from. Maybe you're doing some things right. Maybe you're not doing some things wrong. It'll come to you. You'll get it. It'll work all for your good. And I got to thinking in my mind about the tablets that I had to take. I understood that. But I got to thinking some more. The Lord bring everything to your remembrance. I thought about some other stuff that I was eating back to back too. This. Sometimes the body changes. The stuff you used to do, can't do it no more. And if you don't know that, you will find it out. Your system changes, and it just don't do the same. So you can't treat it like you used to treat it. Amen? So I said, Lord, it all worked together for your good. Because I'm good by going online trying to figure out what's this, what's that. So I try to get my own diagnosis, find out what I need to do. Amen? And I said, amen. So godliness, going back to godliness with contentment, said we brought nothing into this world. And it's certain we can't carry nothing out of. God said, and having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. Let us be content. God saying, be content. Because some people don't have food and raiment. They don't. Moving to foreign countries, something might be not even have to go in a foreign country. Some people are homeless, they don't have a place to stay or nothing. God said he wants us to be content. Because you'll never appreciate things until you, like I'm going back to my shoulder. And you can look at probably things in your life that you've seen God change and do for you that you appreciate the Lord for. And you would never want to be in that condition again. Amen? And having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. It said, verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. And until many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. God is not telling us we can't have money. He just said, don't let the money have you. Most people don't know how to do that. See, sometimes we want God to bless us with big this and big that, big nice fancy cars, houses. Husbands, wives want us to. We say, Lord, this let me have it. And if he let you have everything, not because he don't want you to have everything, but he let you have half of those things you asking for, most people wouldn't be walking with the Lord. This is how the flesh does. Because the flesh feel like, I got all this. Why should I be what I need God for? You know, we don't have some type of discipline. You got to have discipline in your life that you don't go off the deep end one-sided with stuff. Amen? If you got to learn how to stay in balance so it all can work. You can't just, something come good your way, you just run off into everything. Forget about this over here. Can't do that. So it said, they that will be rich fall into temptation. It's those the ones that choose to be rich means to be wealthy, to be well-to-do and have more than enough. And that's really, he's talking about people that's caught up in it. And not saying that there's nothing wrong with having money, because it's good to be able to pay your bills without strain or stress and be able to have a little left over to do what you want to do. That's good living. Nothing wrong with that. But when it gets to the point where that has your attention more than God, that's when it's going to be a problem. That's when it is a problem. So it's saying, but they that will be rich fall into, because it tells you right here, it said, but they that will be rich. In other words, those that chooses just to be wealthy, that chooses all the natural things but nothing spiritual. Choose that way of living. It says, they that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, a trap of the devil. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. If you can look at a lot of the celebrities, most of them, they start off doing all right, making good for themselves, but a lot of them got off track. Doing a lot, like he said here, foolish and hurtful lusts. Crazy in their mind. I was listening to one celebrity. I think they were showing him on YouTube and the stuff he was saying. I said, he crazy. He really crazy. They say, well, you know, y'all probably know who I'm talking about. They asking him about his relationship with somebody 17 years old. And he's like, well, as long as it was consentful. I mean, as long as it was lawful, it's like, ain't nothing wrong with that. So, and people, the way they think. And it say, which drowned men, it'll drown men in destruction. Their riches will drown them into destruction and perdition, into sin, in other words, into destruction. It says, for the love of money, it didn't tell people they couldn't have money. It didn't say, if you love money, you're evil. That's not what it's saying, because some people twist that around. That's not what it's saying. It said, for the love of money. And love means that, you just sold into money. You sold into money. In other words, you're just eager. Yes, the devil didn't like that, Mike, when I use this one. Amen. That means you're just so into, amen, you so much into money, and you're wandering away from the faith. Money is moving you away from the faith. And not only money, is anything that's keeping you out of the house of God, anything that's keeping you from your prayer life, anything that's taking God's place, and maybe God was first, but something, all these other things become to be first, you're heading on a bad road. You're getting off track. It can be good things, but you're still getting off track. If God, amen, put a certain routine, put a certain guy for you to go by, you better stay with that guy. Because the scriptures tells us, say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, I'll add these other things to you. But when you start seeking other things first, you're not, most of the time, reason he said that, because most of the time, you're not going to have time for God. You're going to be too tired to seek God because you put all these other things in front of God. Amen. Some people, well, the Lord don't want us to have fun. God don't mind us having fun. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. But if you don't know how to stay in balance with it, then maybe you don't need to have no fun. See, some people can't do two or three things at one time. Some people, you give them, just like a child, you give a child some money and you say, don't spend all this money. You say, don't spend all that money because we, got other things to do with it. A child that don't have no kind of discipline going to go and spend all that money at the candy store. That's the way we do, so we don't watch it. And God said, stay within balance. You go run here and do this, all of this. And then when you come to God, I ain't got no strength. I ain't got no energy because I didn't stay in balance. And it says, for the love of money, it's the root of all evil. In other words, if you sow into money, you can get so caught up into anything. And I tell people today, as well as myself, honey, don't put your confidence or your eggs all in one basket. Don't get caught up into flesh, because flesh will mess you up. Because people will be for you today, and they'll be against you the same day. And the Bible speaks of a man's worst enemy is of his own household. That's where the devil get most people, amen. And speaking about household, it don't have to be somebody in your household, but people that your acquaintance, your loved ones and stuff, them the ones can hurt you the most. And they will hurt you the most. That's why the Lord said, don't put trust in the Lord. It said, trust the Lord with all your heart, soul, and body. Because God will not do you that way. Amen. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some covet after, some people run after it. They like money, 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 money. That's what they do. OJs. That's what they do. They run after it. And they're killing and shooting and everything for money. Amen. It's the root of all evil, the love of it. It didn't say money, it said the love of it. When you start putting it above everything, that means you will kill, steal, do whatever for it, because you love that money. It's the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred, they have got away from the faith, and pierced themselves through many sorrows. Many sorrows come behind that. And it says, but thou, O man of God, or O woman of God, flee these things. Run away from these things. Stay away from these things. And follow after righteousness, after godliness. Telling you what to pattern your life after. After righteousness, after godliness, after faith, after love, and after patience, and after meekness. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? Amen. If you're connecting with people that's not following after righteousness, after godliness, after faith, after love, after patience, and after meekness, if you don't have that strong determination on the inside of you, it will pull you. Amen. So speaking about godliness, first of all, that's the center. That's the foundation right there. Godliness. It's conforming to the laws of God and wishes of God, out to please God. You're striving to please God every day of your life. Godliness. And then after you have godliness, I'm content. I'm content with what? I'm content with the Lord. I don't, it's like, for as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know what you're going to do, but in my life, I'm going to serve the Lord. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. Amen. And I believe that we're done here. I'm done. Amen. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a great big hand praise.